How do you do? There's a common saying that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Well, it was true for the man in this story, but not in the way you might think. His tendency was to run from trouble. He was tough enough, but he just didn't trust the outcome or his own ability to stand up to bad situations. It took time for him to learn to trust himself and others, even after his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Stop it, Dick. You're killing me.
Maybe you'll learn to do what I say.
I said stop.
Get back, woman. You want some? Stay out of my way when I punch these boys, you hear?
Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people. This is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2837 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Bryce, you boys will have to stay home from school for a couple of days. You're covered with welts and bruises, and I don't want your teacher asking questions, okay? They might try to take you away from us if they know your dad uses a belt on you when he's drunk. I'm so sorry he's so mean when he's drunk. He wasn't always that way. Try to be good when he's drinking so he doesn't get mad.
Try to be good. Advice that a child barely comprehends and rarely follows. Advice that leads to anxiety. The man in our story grew up in constant fear of his father, fear that led him to make grievous mistakes of judgment. And we'll learn about that in the first of a two-part story of the man we're calling Bryce Robertson. The name is fictitious, but his testimony is true right now on Unshackled.
I grew up in Jackson, Michigan, where Dad worked at various factories around town. Although we didn't have many material possessions, my two younger brothers and I never went to bed hungry. But I always had a sick, nervous feeling around Dad. Fear like I'd never known, because the change in him was drastic when he got drunk.
Who stapled the basement door shut?
I don't know.
Bryce! Did you do that?
Yes. It was a joke, Dad.
Oh, some joke.
Dick, you made his mouth bleed.
Serves him right, stupid kid.
Oh, come on, son. Put some ice on it.
My dad was holding a can of beer when he hit me in the mouth, and I still have a lump on my lower lip. We lived in the country where we had a large strawberry patch and sold strawberries from a stand beside the road. I also helped local farmers cut wood and do farm work. My maternal grandparents lived in town, and it was a treat to be with them. Grandpa was in real estate. Dad's parents died when he was a little boy. Perhaps that affected him emotionally. When I was 15, Mom finally filed for divorce and Dad moved out. But one night, he arrived back home drunk and began pounding on the door.
Dan! Dan, open up or I'll break the door down!
Go away, Dick! This isn't your home anymore!
Well, I'll kill you before I let you divorce me! How dare you try to keep me out? This is my home too, woman.
Let's get in the bathroom, son.
Oh, you think that little door will stop me, huh? Well, this shotgun will go right through that door, and you too.
Go away and leave us alone.
You ain't telling me what to do. I'm going to kill you and myself.
Dad, put down the gun, okay? Before you hurt someone.
Get back to your room, Brad. I don't want to shoot you. I can't take it anymore.
Oh, no, he's gone crazy.
Crazy enough to get you.
Where is he?
He's gone, Mom. You whacked him a good one.
He might come back.
I don't think so. His head was bleeding pretty bad.
I heard that shotgun go off, and I thought he killed one of you boys.
He was trying to shoot himself, but he couldn't aim the gun and reach the trigger, so he missed. See? The shot went into the ceiling.
He looked crazy. Eyes popping out of his head. Look what he did to this place. Broken front door, bathroom door smashed, and part of the ceiling shot away.
He's leaving. Look! He was parked at the farmhouse next door.
And there's the sheriff. They got him.
I hope they keep him.
Yeah. I've never been so scared in my life.
When Dad got out of jail after that rampage, he went to Florida and didn't give Mom a dime of support, so she had to work full time. I became a very rebellious teenager, disrespectful and threatening toward my mom, damaging properties of neighbors and even drinking like my dad. I even got into the occult and astrology and became expert at doing charts. We were sent to church a few times, but I don't remember anything. At 17, I quit school to be with my older friends and joined the Air Force, where I fell in with the wrong crowd, drinking and stealing. Trouble followed me from basic training in Texas to tech school in Mississippi.
Hello?
Mom?
What's wrong, Bryce?
I'm in trouble.
Where are you?
Locked in the mental ward at the base hospital.
Why?
It's a long story, but I tried to commit suicide after some guy threatened to kill me.
Oh, Bryce.
I'm afraid they'll never let me go. They watch me all the time and tinker with my mind.
There's nothing I can do, son. You made your bed, now you have to lie in it.
Why is this happening to me? If I could just get away on my own, I'd make it somehow. I know I would.
I was sure that I would make something out of myself, but I had failed. After several weeks, the Air Force sent me to North Dakota for duty. I hated authority and went AWOL several times. I had an old station wagon with a mattress in back that I slept on while I drove home through upper Wisconsin, across the Mackinac Bridge, stealing gas along the way. I lived in fear and looked over my shoulder a lot.
Bryce, what are you doing home?
Aren't you glad to see me, Mom?
You're AWOL, aren't you?
What if I am?
You can't stay here. I'd be harboring a fugitive.
Not even overnight? I came a long way and I haven't slept in a bed for a week.
You should have thought of that before you ran away.
I thought you'd be glad to see me.
Not like this. You have to leave. Right now.
I was a desperate young man with nowhere to turn. Nothing in my life was going right. For a while, I crashed in the restroom of an all-night restaurant. Then a friend hid me in his attic until his mother got wise and threw me out. After that, I slept in my car. My buddies and I began burglarizing homes.
Find anything worthwhile?
Yeah, some blank checks.
We can cash them at some of the banks and get money that way.
What if the tellers get suspicious?
Well, we'll use the drive-up window. They can't see us in the car.
Hey, listen, they're coming home.
Let's get out of here.
That back door is locked.
And then we're going through it.
Brazenly, we cashed the stolen checks, unaware that bank cameras were photographing us in my friend's car. One night, the police broke down my friend's door and he confessed. I ran to my grandparents' home.
You're in some kind of trouble, Bryce?
Yes, Grandpa. The police are after me.
Why?
My friends and I, we cashed some checks that weren't ours.
That's pretty serious.
I'm scared. I don't want to go to jail.
You may not have to. It's your first offense.
Yeah, but I'm AWOL from the Air Force, too.
You can't run forever, Bryce. Look at you, peeking out the windows.
There has to be some place to go.
Running away won't get you anywhere. Sooner or later, they'll catch you, and then it'll be even worse.
I'll take the chance.
You're still young. Your life isn't over just because you made some mistakes.
You just don't know.
Why don't you turn yourself in? They'll go easy on you if you do.
Will you help me?
If you stay here, you'll get us in trouble. Trust in the system, Bryce. I'll call the police and tell them to come here so you can turn yourself in.
The felony charges carried a $10,000 bond. A lot of money in 1978. So I spent nearly a year in jail, sharing a cell with 11 men who were charged with rape and murder. I was terrified.
Are you doing all right, Bryce?
You can't be all right behind bars, Grandpa.
Make the best of it. Your mother said she left you some money for cigarettes.
Yeah, but I don't sleep well at night.
Too noisy?
The guys in my cell are evil. They said if I went to sleep, they'd poke my eyes out.
You're kidding.
Would you take a chance? My life is over.
No, it isn't. You're still young. Think positive.
I'm doomed. I still have to face the Air Force.
It His life on the run hadn't gotten Bryce where he wanted to go, and things would get much worse.
I was sentenced to a very long probation in order to pay $1,000 of restitution. My grandma paid it. When I walked out of the courtroom, the Air Force was waiting. They took me to an Air Force base near Detroit, where I spent 4 days in a steel tank with no windows until security police arrived to transport me back to North Dakota.
Keep up, Robertson.
I have to fly in these handcuffs and leg chains?
Who said anything about flying? We're driving back to Minot.
Driving?
You got it. 1,000 miles. We get to check into motels along the way while you get to check out the local jails. Starting tonight with Cook County in Chicago. You better watch yourself. I hear some guys come out with their name carved on their chest.
When we arrived at the base in North Dakota, one of the policemen who carried a carbine dared me to run. I was 18, but I thought about ending my life as I lay on my bunk, feeling desperate and facing a court-martial. I picked up a paperback about peace with God and for the first time read about Jesus. Will a loving God send a man to hell? The answer is yes, because he is just, and he says the penalty for sin is death. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He who was without sin became sin for us so that we could be cleansed and made whole. He is the Savior, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. The moment you receive him, you find peace with God. I wept at my lost condition, aware for the first time that I was condemned by God and in need of a Savior. I needed this Jesus I was reading about, but didn't know what to do. My court-appointed attorney pleaded my case, avoiding a court-martial, but I received a less than honorable discharge. I went home and reported to my probation officer. Then I got in trouble again.
What's up, Bryce?
I'm leaving town.
Does Mom know?
Not yet. You can tell her.
Where are you headed?
I'm going to Florida to see if I can find Dad.
I thought you weren't supposed to leave the state.
I'm not, but I'm going anyway.
How are you going to find Dad?
Uncle Clay told me he's in DeLand, not far from Daytona Beach. He told me about some old lady in Seymour, Indiana, who knows where Dad is. I'll go there first.
You sure are brave, heading out like this.
Not brave. Desperate. In Seymour, I stayed with the elderly lady who had befriended my dad when he was homeless. I got a full-time job in a canning factory nearby, working 10-hour shifts for about 4 months. Then I got in trouble over a girl and left town in a hurry with shotgun-toting men after me. I ran into a snow-covered barn and hid until dawn, when I thumbed a ride on the interstate. It wasn't easy to find my dad, but I did.
Hey! Where do you think you're going?
Dad?
Bryce? Is that you?
Sure is.
I can't believe my eyes. How'd you find me?
Wasn't easy. I left Michigan 5 months ago. Stopped in Seymour and looked up that woman you knew. She told me how to find you.
Well, don't that beat all. You showing up here, I sure am glad to see you. Come on inside the trailer. It ain't much, but it's home. It's only one bedroom, but I reckon you can sleep on the couch.
I slept in a barn coming down here, Dad. Woke up with cows munching the hay I used to keep warm.
I am so tickled you came. Hey, you want a beer?
Sure.
5 months, huh? How come it took you so long?
I worked at a canning factory in Seymour for 4 months.
That sounds like a good job. How come you left?
I got in trouble about some girl.
You are a chip off the old block, Bryce. You hitchhiking?
Yeah. I don't have a car anymore. Last ride brought me all the way down that dirt road.
Well, I thumbed my way down here a bunch of times. Started off with nothing but the clothes on my back. About all I got now, too.
Are you working, Dad?
If you want to call it that. I look after the ferns they grow on this farm, crank up the pumps on cold mornings.
Sure is good to see you again.
How long's it been? 4 or 5 years, ain't it?
Yeah. Seems like I've been running ever since you left. I'd always been petrified of Dad, but now I felt kind of sorry for him. He looked like a homeless bum. I stayed with Dad, helping on the farm. We picked oranges, too. But I was still looking over my shoulder, knowing there was a Michigan warrant out for me for violating probation. Once a week, my dad and I hitchhiked 13 miles into town for supplies. and one day a telephone truck stopped, and the driver offered us a ride. Right away, the driver popped a question.
If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven?
No, sir, I don't.
I don't believe in heaven or hell.
Well, your disbelief doesn't change the facts. They're real. And you don't want to go to hell and suffer torment forever and ever. But you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. If you can't see it, you sure can't enter it. That's why Jesus came and gave his life a ransom for us, so we could be accepted by God. Jesus is your passport to heaven. Do you realize that you're a sinner?
I know I'm a sinner.
Everyone is. We're born that way, unworthy to enter in God's presence. Our sins mean that we fall short, never able to rise to a place that would be acceptable to God. Have you ever tried to do a long jump in school sports?
I wasn't much of an... didn't really have a lot of time for sports.
Well, if you fall short, you lose. And God says we all fall short. The Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. You see, God has a standard you have to meet. And that standard is perfection.
Nobody can do that.
Nobody but Jesus. He came to provide a way for us to have a personal relationship with God. To have peace with God.
My mind drifted back to the book I'd read in jail, and I wanted to talk with that man some more. But he dropped us off in town, and I thought I'd never see him again. My dad was indignant about the conversation.
Well, I sure hope you don't believe none of that religious stuff. That's a bunch of malarkey.
I thought it was interesting.
The guy's off his rocker. Nobody believes in sin anymore. And heaven is, it's just a myth.
What if you're wrong, Dad?
I ain't wrong. When you're dead, you're dead. And that's the end.
After 3 months with Dad, I grew restless, and hoping things had cooled down, I went back to Indiana, where I stayed with a friend in an old farmhouse in the country. There were no other houses around. We burned wood for heat and did odd jobs to make money. One snowy night when I was alone, I looked out the window and saw the silhouettes of two men approaching with rifles or shotguns. What are they up to? Are they after me? I can't defend myself. I can't run anywhere. Is the door locked? Ah, yes, but that won't stop them. I'll crawl under the bed, and maybe they won't find me. In the morning, they were gone, but the fear wasn't. I thought the law was closing in, and I headed for Florida again. With no money, I hitchhiked as far as Chattanooga, halfway, but couldn't seem to get any further. Darkness fell, and I sat discouraged on the side of the highway, a small suitcase and a guitar beside me. Cold, lonely, and scared, I began to weep and cried out to God for help. Then I felt impelled to cross the median and go back north. Right away, a car with a Michigan license appeared and stopped to give me a ride. I fell asleep in the back seat.
Wake up, fella. This is where you get out.
Where are we?
About 20 miles from Ann Arbor.
Wow, home was only 50 miles away. Thanks for the ride.
Here's $20. Get yourself something to eat.
I scrambled up to a truck stop where I ate breakfast. There was exactly enough money left for a bus ticket to Jackson. From there, I hitchhiked to my mother's house in the country. My youngest brother and four of his friends were packing their car, heading for Florida. They invited me to join them. I wasn't at the wheel when we were stopped for speeding, but my gut clenched with fear that the patrolman would check our IDs and discover that warrant on me. When we arrived at DeLand, we looked for an apartment by driving around until we saw a sign, furnished, upstairs apartment. We rented it and moved right in. That evening, I saw a familiar telephone truck pull into the driveway, and the driver was the same man who had picked up me and Dad hitchhiking, so I ran down to greet him.
Sure, I remember you, Bryce. How's your dad?
I haven't seen him recently. I've been up north for a while.
I prayed for him and you. Have you thought about the things I said?
Sure have. I was hoping to see you again.
Well, God sure worked that out. Well, I live right next door, and the apartment you rented belongs to my folks on the other side of you.
Wow, that's amazing.
That's God.
I have a lot of questions about the things you said.
Why don't you go to church with me on Sunday?
I'd like that, very much. My brother and their friends wouldn't go to church with us, but I visited several times. I wanted another chance at life so badly. I wanted to make something out of my life, and it seemed that it would be possible if I turned to God. One evening, when my brother and a friend were home, the pastor and Don stopped by for a visit.
We came to speak with you about your soul, Bryce. Do you have some time?
You bet.
You told me once that you know you're a sinner.
That's true. I realize it now, even more so.
Well, let me show you what the Bible says. Romans chapter 3 lists all the ways we've gone astray. Lying, cursing, and bitterness, murder and destruction. And the penalty that we reap is death, eternal damnation in hell. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But the good news is, God made a way for us to become righteous in His sight. He sent Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins, to suffer and die in our place. Chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Why? Because He loves us. Do you understand so far?
Yes, sir, I understand.
Without Christ, you're lost. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord?
Repent of your sins. Believe in your heart that God hath raised Christ Jesus from the dead, and then ask Him to be your personal Savior and give you a new life.
I'm ready. I want to do it.
Well, let's kneel, and we'll lead you in a prayer of salvation. But remember, there are no magic words that save you. God looks on the heart, and He knows your sincerity.
We knelt in the living room, and they led us in a prayer of salvation. I knew right away that I was born again. I had a peace within me that I had never felt before in my life. I read the Bible daily and went to church regularly. Looking back, I saw how God had planted a seed in my heart while I was in jail reading that book about peace with God. He had led me and brought me to where I was, believing in Him. But I didn't know that a time of severe testing still lay ahead before I learned to trust Him completely.
We'll hear about that time of testing in the conclusion of Bryce's story. Until then, we hope his testimony has helped you understand the grace of God and His desire to have you be part of His family. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." All you have to do is ask Him to save you. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Last week we heard how the man in our story suffered abuse from his drunken father. Although his parents divorced when he was 15, fear and mistrust characterized his life into manhood. He joined the Air Force, but went AWOL after attempting suicide. For burglarizing homes, he spent 11 months in jail and received a less than honorable discharge. And then he violated probation and left the state of Michigan to look for his father in Florida. His life became a life on the run. In this conclusion of his true story, we'll hear how he stopped running and learned to trust. This is a man we're calling Bryce Robertson right now on Unshackled.
I seemed to live in fear all the time. Most of all, fear that the law would catch up with me for violating probation. Even after I returned to Florida, started going to church and prayed to receive Christ, I kept looking over my shoulder. I knew that God loved me, but the judge back there in Michigan didn't, and I wasn't sure how to get out of the mess I'd made. Not long after I was born again, I met Kim, and we started dating. There's a lot you don't know about me, Kim.
I know that you love God. It shows.
It wasn't always that way, and my family never went to church.
Then how did you ever come around to where you are now?
God came after me. He protected me all those years growing up with a drunken father. When Mom filed for divorce, Dad came after us one night with a shotgun. He broke down the door and threatened to kill himself and all of us.
How did you stop him?
Mom hid in the bathroom. But he broke down the bathroom door, too, so she hit him in the head with the wooden stock of an old BB gun. After he got out of jail, he came down here to Florida and never bothered us again. Never paid any child support, either.
But you made something of your life anyway, Bryce.
Well, like I said, there's a lot you don't know. I got booted from the Air Force for going AWOL. Then I got in trouble back home in Michigan and spent some time in jail. God protected me there, too. I spent 11 months locked in a cell with men who'd committed rape and murder. It was scary.
Well, what's past doesn't have to control the future.
Well, that's true if you resolve your problems as you go, but I haven't. I'm still on probation in Michigan. Technically, I shouldn't be here in Florida.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have met.
That's true.
Things will be different from now on, Bryce.
Yes. Now I have the Lord to help me.
What made you decide to come looking for your dad?
I hadn't seen him for 4 or 5 years. He hasn't changed. Still drinks. I can't wait to tell him how I've been saved. My father was living in a one-bedroom trailer on a farm where he took care of the Ferns. Since his divorce from Mom when I was 15, Dad had done nothing with his life but drink. The fear I'd had of him was gone, replaced with sorrow at his lost condition. And because Jesus had changed my life, I wanted Dad to have the same transformation. I wanted him to go to heaven, too.
What are you talking about, saved?
I repented of my sins and asked Jesus to come into my heart, Dad. It's the greatest feeling in the world to know God has forgiven all my sins.
Why'd you have to go and do that for? Well,
this is a good thing, Dad. The Lord will help me live without getting into trouble all the time.
Foolishness. There is no God.
I know there is, because of the peace in my heart. I know I'm going to heaven, and you can go there, too.
You know what? I think you're touched in the head.
No, in the heart.
Ha! You see that dead animal laying over there? That's what happens to you when you die. The maggots eat you. There is no heaven, and there's no hell, neither.
There was nothing I could say to change his mind. I was too new in the faith to quote scripture, but Kim professed faith in Christ shortly after we met, and we were both baptized. I was working in construction then, and one day two police officers approached the site. My heart sank as I heard them ask for me. The warrant had caught up with me. I thought about running, but didn't.
Are you Bryce Robertson?
Yes.
I have a wallet here. Can you identify it as being your dad's property?
Well, yes, that's my dad's wallet, all right.
Your father was in an accident last night, and he was killed.
Oh, man, what happened?
Well, he was riding his bicycle on the main highway. There was a brief power outage, and the streetlights malfunctioned. He'd been drinking and probably strayed into the street. A station wagon hit him, and he was killed instantly.
My heart sank at the news that my father was gone. Beyond the reach of God's redemption. He missed out on seeing me get married to Kim a short time later. He missed out on being a grandfather to the daughter that was born to us the following year, and so many other things. Kim and I lived upstairs in her mother's house for a long time because I was working at a restaurant then and didn't earn much. We were young and struggled in our marriage. Where is your mother?
Out shopping for groceries.
It's nice to have some privacy.
Don't, Bryce. I'm trying to fix supper. We need to give Mom some money for groceries. There's three of us now.
Look, I give her all I can, Kim. I don't earn that much.
Maybe you should look for a better job.
Maybe we should just move back to Michigan.
Why?
I have friends up there, and I think there's more work up there, too. Besides, we need to be on our own. Get a fresh start.
Well, what about the warrant that's out for you?
We'll worry about that when the time comes. So we moved 1,300 miles north to Traverse City, Michigan, where I worked at a small family-owned restaurant. We didn't even look for a church. I was afraid someone would ask questions or try to help us. Being away from church and other believers, our marriage became even more strained. I lived in constant fear of being picked up on that warrant. One day, while I was at work, my wife called me.
Bryce, the sheriff was just here with a warrant for your arrest.
Are they coming here?
Yes, they know where you are, and they're on their way over right now.
Oh, that's too late to run.
If they take you to jail, can you bail out?
Oh, there's no bail on that kind of warrant.
How long will you be locked up?
I don't know. Last time it was almost a year before I went to court.
What are the baby and I gonna do?
I'll see if you can stay with Mom.
I'm scared, Bryce.
Oh, don't be, Kim. We'll get through this somehow.
We never should have come up here. I knew it was a mistake.
I wanted so much to run, but I cooperated with deputies who came to the restaurant, read me my rights, and handcuffed me. They took me to the downtown jail where I waited several days for transport to Jackson, 150 miles away. As I rode in handcuffs and leg chains in that car with detectives, I tried to tell them about the change in me. Listen, you guys, I know you have to do this, but I'm not like the person who was arrested initially. I received Christ as my personal savior. I'm born again, and I belong to him now. I quit drinking and stealing and all that kind of stuff. I have new friends, and I try to live a godly life. Knowing Jesus has really changed me. I'm really sorry I violated probation, but God used it to save me.
Oh, yeah, did you hear that? He's got to be saved now, right?
My previous time in jail had been fearful, but being in jail this time was different. Instead of anxiety, I had peace in my heart as I read the Bible. I even repented of staying away from church. Instead of waiting for months, in 2 weeks I stood before the judge.
Young man, you're here for violation of your probation. Now, what do you have to say for yourself?
Your Honor, I'm truly sorry I left the state and violated my probation, but I'm saved now. I'm a Christian, and I have a wife and daughter. I've turned away from the life I once led. I read the Bible and try to obey God's laws.
Well, are you working to support your family?
Yes, sir. I have a job in a restaurant.
Mr. Robertson, I wish you well in your new life as a Christian husband and father. Taking into consideration your youth and this change of direction and the fact that there are no new charges, I'll let you go to finish your probation.
Oh, thank you, Your Honor.
But I warn you, if you ever appear in my courtroom again, I'll send you to prison to serve time on the original felony charges.
I was a free man again, back home with my family, back to work at the same family restaurant. I checked in with the probation officer, and everything seemed to be going well. Then one day, while I was at work, some investigators from Health and Rehabilitation Services came to our home. When I got off work, we had to make a decision.
Oh, Bryce, I am so glad you're home. I worried all day about those men coming here.
Did they show you any identification?
Yes, from Health and Rehabilitation Services.
What did they want?
I don't know. They asked all kinds of questions. I didn't like it, and I didn't let them in. They demanded to see our marriage license, as if they didn't believe we were really married.
I don't understand. What's going on?
I don't know. They seemed very suspicious. They wanted to see the baby, but I refused to let them in.
Oh, man, what next?
They said they'd be back with a counselor from the state, and they'd do whatever they thought was necessary. What are we going to do? What if they try to take our daughter away from us?
Well, on what grounds? We haven't done anything.
They could make up some reason. I wish we'd never come up here.
We can't leave the state. I'd be violating my probation again.
Well, we can't stay here, Bryce. I'm scared.
I felt ripped in two, afraid to lose our daughter and afraid to violate probation again. In the end, we left hurriedly that night for Florida. Quick to run whenever a new trial came my way, I hadn't learned to trust God implicitly. I wanted to trust him, but I just couldn't chance losing my daughter.
In a moment, we'll hear how running wasn't the answer for Bryce.
When we arrived in Florida, we told no one there about the situation we had fled in Michigan. We rented an apartment from Brother Don, the same man who had led me to Christ, and we returned to the same church. With Christian friends once again, we were excited about serving the Lord, but I was tormented inside and tired of running. One night while I was on a visitation with the pastor, I confessed our dilemma to him.
Bryce, you must be miserable.
I am, Pastor. Living in fear, looking over my shoulder all the time.
Well, we have to get this cleared up once and for all.
Are you saying I should go back to Michigan?
Well, you can't have the liberty Jesus died to give you with this hanging over your head.
I'd go to prison if I go back. That judge warned me not to violate my probation again.
Trust in the Lord, Bryce. He promises that he will never leave you or forsake you. Hang on to his word the way a drowning man hangs on to a life preserver. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
I became physically ill at the thought of facing that judge, but I just couldn't ignore what I'd done, and the pastor wouldn't let me alone. He asked me to meet with him and Brother Don and some elders at a local restaurant.
The pastor is right, Bryce. You can't be a good witness for Christ with this hanging over you.
I know you're right, but I don't want to go to prison.
Jesus died to set you free, but his freedom comes as you obey him. Even in prison, his presence will be with you. Besides, you may not even have to go to prison at all.
You don't know that judge.
God will be with you no matter what the outcome.
Bryce, God allows things in our lives that we don't always like. He let Joseph go to prison because it was part of his plan to save his people.
There's got to be a better way. Besides, Joseph hadn't really broken any laws.
Now, you said you were tired of running.
Yes, I am. I'm so miserable.
Well, Jonah tried to run from God's will, and he was miserable too. God's will is always right, Bryce, whether we understand it or not.
What Jesus prayed before his crucifixion is true of all of us. Thy will be done.
Trust and obey. You'll never be at peace trying to run your own life.
Oh, just the thought of going back up there makes me sick inside.
I'll go with you.
Yeah, and you can use my car, so Kim will have a car while you're gone.
All right, let me think about all this. After that meeting, I was so convicted that I couldn't eat or sleep for 3 days. Finally, I gave in to God and decided to face whatever I had coming to me. Right away, the peace of God flooded my soul, and I knew I'd made the right decision. That Sunday evening, many prayers went up for us. The pastor and I left right after the service, and we prayed and sang as we drove. We decided to stay with Mother and conduct our efforts from there.
We're almost there, Bryce. Are you holding up?
Yes. I have peace like a river in my soul.
No fear?
I'm a little afraid, but it's a different kind of fear.
Does your mother know we're coming?
No. I haven't seen her in a few years, and I didn't know what her reaction would be if I tried to explain ahead of time. She's been through a lot with me, and she'll get to see a whole different son.
It's almost midnight. Will she still be up?
I doubt it. She goes to bed early. It's the next house.
The lights are still on. It looks like God has done some preparations.
Bryce, what are you doing here this time of night?
I violated my probation here, Mom, and I'm going to turn myself in tomorrow morning. This is my pastor. Can we spend the night here?
Oh, of course. Come in. For some strange reason, I decided to stay up tonight and bake some homemade bread.
Oh, it sure smells good.
Come in the kitchen and have some.
The next morning, the pastor explained to my mother what we intended to do.
Do you really believe that you can persuade the court to let my son go?
Well, all I can say is that I believe we'll be driving back to Florida together.
Pastor Neal, I'm grateful for your concern and effort, but I think you should be prepared to go back to Florida alone. Bryce is in a lot of trouble.
Well, we serve an omnipotent God, Mrs. Robertson. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save.
The law is the law, and I'm afraid he'll have to go to prison.
Well, God gives people a new heart when he saves them, and that heart contains a peacemaker. My peacemaker is working just fine, so I'm planning on both of us going home together. Let's take a look at God's word. Now, he promises in Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler."
When we arrived at the courthouse, my probation officer recognized me and said, "We have you now." She and my pastor disappeared into an inner office while I waited nervously. Finally, he reappeared and said, "Let's go." To my amazement, we actually left the building and went to a nearby coffee shop.
It doesn't look good, Bryce.
I'm not behind bars yet.
Well, they released you into my custody, but only temporarily until we can see the judge. That's the problem. The judge is on a hunting trip out west in the Rocky Mountains.
When's he coming back?
Well, not for another week, so we're going to have to wait.
I don't mind.
I hadn't planned to be away from the church that long, but I'm willing to do whatever it takes.
You know, I sure appreciate your standing by me, Pastor.
I'm supposed to call the probation office in the morning to see when the judge will return. Somehow, I don't think we're going to have to wait the whole week.
Bryce, you're back. I can't believe it.
We haven't seen the judge yet, Mom. He's out west hunting for a week.
Meanwhile, they released Bryce into my custody.
Oh, amazing.
Yes. We'll use this time to pray and wait on the Lord. This is no accident. God has a purpose in this delay.
It sure surprises me.
Do you know the Lord, Mrs. Robertson?
I have my own beliefs.
But do you know for sure, if you died tonight, that you would go to heaven?
I don't think I want to talk about it.
Mom, I tried to talk to Dad about salvation, and he resisted too, but he was killed a few days later. Please, listen to my pastor.
Well, I'll listen, but I won't promise anything.
Well, let me show you what God says. Do you believe that you're a sinner?
Well, I think we all make mistakes.
Well, God calls it sin, and we all sin. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here, Mrs. Robertson, you read this.
But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
You see, God stands by his word. If he says the penalty for sin is death, that penalty has to be paid. So Jesus paid it for us. His blood shed on the cross wipes our slate clean. Herein is love, John wrote, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. To be saved, you have to receive him into your heart and life, believing that he died in your place. Would you like to do that?
Oh, I don't want to make any hasty decisions.
It was Wednesday, so that night the pastor and I headed out to a local church. At the last minute, my younger brother rushed to join us. He was a long-haired biker type who smoked pot, but at the invitation, he ran to the altar crying. He prayed to receive Christ. Today, he's a missionary in France. From the church, my pastor called our home church in Florida, and in the background, we could hear men crying out to God for us. What a night that was. In the morning, my pastor called the probation office as he'd been instructed.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye. Hallelujah! Let's go!
What?
The probation office has decided not to wait for the judge. They want you to come down and fill out transfer papers.
I can finish my probation back in Florida?
Yes, we can leave right away.
Oh, hallelujah!
Amazing!
What a miracle! That very night, we were on our way back to Florida, praising God all the way. I learned a vital lesson about trusting in the Lord. My only concern was for Mom, who still wasn't saved. A few days later, I saw the pastor.
Bryce, your mother called my office.
She did. What did she want?
Well, she said she's been in turmoil ever since we left. Couldn't eat or sleep. The scriptures that I shared with her had brought conviction. She wanted to know if she could be saved over the phone.
Really? Pastor, that's wonderful.
I prayed with her, and she put her trust in Christ.
Oh, God is awesome.
He used that whole trip north to teach a lot of us to trust him.
You know, I'm sure glad I listened to you guys. It all worked out, just like you said.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
That was 24 years ago, and I'm still walking with the Lord, in church whenever the doors are open. I've taught Sunday school, driven the church bus, and I also love to sing and play my guitar in church. All my children profess faith in Christ. What about you, friend? Salvation is a free gift. Why don't you reach out and take what God offers you?
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To receive God's gift of salvation, pray with us right now. Lord, I believe Jesus died in my place for my sins. I believe He rose from the dead and wants to save me and change me. Thank you for His sacrifice. Thank you for the gift of eternal life through Him. Save me, Lord, and help me be like Jesus. In His name I pray. Amen. Now please let us know you prayed so that we can send you some literature to help you walk in new life. The address is Simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois 60605.